It's a great honor this morning to be able to minister to you this morning on this Mother's Day, this very special day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. May God bless you and may you have a wonderful day today. A five-year-old attended Sunday school where a teacher told him about how Adam came from the dust of the ground and that when he died, he would go back to dust. The next morning, he was dressing and he dropped something that rolled under the bed. And that morning, he came down for breakfast with a worried look on his face. And he asked his mom, "Mom, is it true that we came from dust? When we die, we're going back to dust?" And his mom said, "Yes, son, that's right." And he said, "In that case, Mom, I think there's a man under my bed and he's either coming or going." The preschool teacher dreaded rainy days. It meant 35 pairs of galoshes to struggle with. Three times that day, she had helped the children put their overshoes on. And at the day's end, as she gave this final tug, little Noor remarked, "These are not my shoes." The teacher had had it. But she counted to 10 and began to pull the little boy's feet out of the galoshes as he watched in silence. When it was over, he said soberly, "They're my sister's, but my mom made me wear them today." Motherhood is difficult. And one of the main reasons is because our children are so different, aren't they? When our boys were about 3 or 4, many, many years ago, they used to watch Saturday cartoons on TV in the basement. And one morning I was bringing them their breakfast and I fell down the stairs. Well, that's beginning to sound a little familiar, right? And the cereal with milk was everywhere. And one of them said to me, "Mommy, are you okay?" And one of them said, "Where's my breakfast?" True story. Aren't kids amazing? Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we're here once again in your presence. And Father, I thank you for godly women on this Mother's Day who have chosen to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you that you will reveal and unfold your plan for their lives. And for each and every one of them, they have a different heart. They have a different home. They have a different situation. But you know exactly what it is, so we lose the ministering spirits to go forth this morning and Holy Spirit to fall on us. And speak through me today, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God outlined what women are supposed to be. Aren't you glad? I would like to share with you today from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. If you want to turn to that in your Bibles. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. And I'm going to read it in the Living Bible version. If you can find a truly good wife, she is worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by ships from distant ports. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it, and with her own hands, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. She sows for the poor and generously gives to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for she has made warm clothes for all of them. She also upholsters with finest tapestry. Her own clothing is beautifully made, a purple gown of pure linen. Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council chamber with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments to sell to the merchants. She is a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness rules for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. Her husband stands and blesses her. So does her husband. Her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words. There are many fine women in all the world, but you are the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from even the leaders of the nations. Did you ladies hear what I just read? My goodness, doesn't she make you tired? Do you realize the pressure that is on us to be a superwoman? Don't you just hate such a perfect woman? Never did like her a whole lot. First of all, she gets up before it's light outside to prepare breakfast for everyone and then works way into the night. She's very energetic, so I guess she goes to fitness classes and does sports. That sounds like Lorraine. She not only knits, but she spins her own wool. She's a seamstress, and she sews clothes for everyone in her house and also for the needy. She is also an upholsterer. She reupholsters furniture. Not sure if it's to sell or if it's for herself. She's also into real estate. As verse 16 says, she goes out to inspect a field and buys it. Well, I'd like to see what would happen if I went out to without consulting my husband and bought a field. She also plants not only a garden, but a vineyard. She plants trees. She's very fortunate, though, because her husband seems to be very rich, as she's able to buy imported food right off the ships from other countries. But did you notice that even though he's rich, she has to watch for bargains? What kind of a guy is that? But listen, she has servants. As she has them, she has to plan their day's work for them. Wow, would that ever be nice? Although, you know, my husband was raised with servants. Yes, they had a servant to cook and clean, another to do the washing and the ironing, and a gardener. My spoiled husband. You don't believe me, do you? Well, it's true. That's what growing up in Barbados was like for him. But he married a Canadian. And I've taught him well. That we all share the work in the household, especially when I was working. He's a great cook and a housekeeper, gardener. And he even helps do washing and ironing. Sometimes. He did it yesterday even. He did his own yesterday. He's going fishing, so he had to do his own. But he's the greatest husband that anyone could want. Love you, hon. When we first got married and we were both working, I always cooked the meals. And after the meal, he would say, "Call me if you need me." But I'd never just feel right to call him. So most of the time, I'd just do it by myself. And all the time, I was wishing he would just help me because I was tired from working, too. But I just didn't want to ask him. And after a while, I realized that if I asked him, that he would always do it. So ladies, just ask for help and show them that you need them. Don't be so independent. Even though we as wives don't understand why they just can't do things without us asking. Do you remember the show that was on TV about the pastor and his family called Seventh Heaven? It was a few years back. Well, a few years ago, we were watching it one night, and my son-in-law, Mike, says, "Boy, she sure is the Proverbs 31 woman, isn't she?" Referring to Mrs. Scanlon. And I said, "She sure is." But, you know, I realized that a TV show is just TV. And I was thinking, I'd like to see how she really is in real life. See, it's easy to portray something in front of the camera, isn't it? with using a script that somebody else writes, and or to portray the perfect wife and mother on a Sunday morning in front of everyone, isn't it? And, you know, we've been having fun with the Proverbs 31 woman and making fun of how can anybody possibly be that woman? But I realize that so many of us live so far below our potential that I believe that God gives us this passage to follow, to seek to be like the Proverbs 31 woman, just so that we'll come up a little higher and be a bit, even a little bit higher and be more than what we are now. And how do we do this? First of all, God's got to change us. We try to handle our affairs and relationships in the natural. But we need to find God's rest, as it tells us to do in Hebrews chapter 4. So we're going to have to tap into the realm of the spiritual so that God can work in the spirit. And in Proverbs 31 and 18, the King James reads, "Her candle goes not out by night." It really means her spiritual life goes not out. This was the hinge of the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 20:27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." Handling the affairs of our home is mainly based on our spiritual life. We tap into the vein of God and walk in the spirit. Everything we need is on the inside of us. We need to get it out to start flowing out. I remember all too well as a young mother that I did not realize the power there really was in prayer. Oh, I was raised in the pastor's home, and I was even a pastor's wife for many, many years before I even realized what power there really was in prayer. You know, having children does catch most parents off guard. Even nowadays, with so many books out and so many DVDs, even if you do read them all or watch them all, and you think you're ready, you're really never ready. The reality of parenting can become overwhelming. As a parent, you are the ones who are supposed to train a child in the way he should go, Proverbs 22 and 6 says. But somehow, you're supposed to know how to do that. But reality is that most parents start out as a young girl and a young boy, faced with a job beyond their capabilities. And most of us know, most of the how-to books leave something out. I learned that the most important parenting skill I could practice was to get flat on my face before God in prayer. Scripture promises that God hears the prayer of the righteous in Proverbs 15 and 29, and that the earnest prayer of the righteous will accomplish much. We've heard sermons on prayer, read books on prayer, studied the Bibles, what the Bible says about it, and we've seen its effect in our own lives. Handling, why do we sometimes leave it out? One of the most important ministries the Lord has given to us, that of raising our children. My husband taught me, as he has also taught our congregations, the importance of putting on the armor of God on our children. We did this for years. We had family devotions in the morning, and we would put on the armor on them almost every morning before they would go to school. And that was not always the easiest thing to do. I remember it being such a trying time to get everyone together for devotions. I believe God gave me a plan that helped us out quite a lot, so that our devotional time would go smoother. I would go to the children and tell them they had 10 minutes before devotional time. I'd go to each one individually. And then when time was up and my husband was in the living room with the Bible, I would go to them and tell them to come right away. And that seemed to work quite well for us. I found it was not nearly so much frustration on all of us. And we have continued to put the armor on them, even as they have grown older and also married. Whenever they have a problem, we pray with them. Usually they don't ask for prayer, but I frequently will ask them if they would like us to pray. And I know sometimes they laugh at what I will pray for. Even my husband thinks I get carried away sometimes. But they'll all assure you and can testify to the fact that God always answers the prayers, even though it may not be the way we think it should be answered. But in the end, it's always better. And I'm a firm believer that God cares about every single tiny detail of our lives. Even a teenager's bad hair day. God cares about your child's frustrations. And some of the frustrations seem so insignificant to you as parents. But to them, they are very real mountains. And you as parents need to take their problems as seriously as your own. Bless them with the ability to handle their frustrations. I would encourage you as parents, even with young mothers with little babies, to bless your children. Begin speaking audible blessings over them. Picture your children's development. Visualize the things you hope for them. And at night, as your babies sleep, put your hand on them and bless them. They tell us a healthy person needs 8 meaningful touches every day. Do you folks get that? Did you receive 8 touches? Do you receive 8 touches a day? Thankfully, I got a few today. I got one from my husband, and I got a few more from these people this morning. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, another one. That's so sweet.
Two. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I don't think that's the kind of touch they're talking about. And even you don't know their strengths and weaknesses yet. Think of characteristics that will please God and help them throughout life. Bless them with joy. Bless them with laughter and love for life. Bless them with intimacy with Jesus. Bless them with a passion for Him. Bless them with your own love. Speaking of blessing in the present tense will give you faith that your prayer is taking effect. Immediately, you will find joy in it. You will feel like the woman here in Proverbs 31 who laughs at the future with a happy conviction that all is well. And when your children get beyond infancy, you will be able to pray more specifically for them. You'll be able to recognize traits that need the strengthening or curbing of the Holy Spirit. And you can tailor your daily blessings to each child's personality. Little one, I bless you with the ability to handle your frustrations. I have often kept prayer sheets, and it is such an encouragement when I have looked back on problems that are now behind us. And not all prayers for our children should be reformatory prayers, such as change in their character. We need to delight in the many of the qualities and the gifts of our children, as I think the Lord does too. After all, they are His unique creation. And you will find it refreshing to celebrate each child with the Lord. Just say, Father, thank you for my son's zeal. Thank you for little Billy's wholehearted gusto for every task at hand. You will find that praying for your children with thanksgiving often will give you back the perspective that you need after maybe a particularly hard day. Proverbs 31 was written by King Lemuel. And I heard that Marilyn Hickey says Lemuel was a pet name given to King Solomon by his mother Bathsheba. Marilyn Hickey says that Bathsheba is the virtuous woman. Now, doesn't that about knock your socks off? Gives me chills. If Marilyn Hickey is right, and if you know who Marilyn Hickey is, Marilyn is a wonderful Bible scholar. That is one more example that we never noticed before of what Jesus came to do, is to take all the garbage in your past. Because she's number one adulteress, isn't she, in the Bible, isn't she? Number one, I mean, Hollywood made a picture about her. She's the bad girl. But Jesus came to take bad girls and make them virtuous. Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus came. Get it in your mind that he came to take all the garbage in your past. And as the song says, you wrap it in the rags of your life and you lay it at the cross. And then he makes something beautiful out of it. What a miracle. And now as we look a bit further into scripture, what does she do? First thing, Proverbs 31 says that she is an excellent wife. First thing, you're a gift to your husband. He might not think so all the time. But the word of God says you are. You just turn to him and say, I'm a gift. Do it. Go ahead. I'm a gift to you. Peter Cuke, I'm a gift to you. And Ralph Tembrinke, Christine is a gift to you. And look at all the wonderful gifts here in this room this morning. Amen? In Proverbs, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. She was an excellent wife. Right there. Right there, you decide if you're going to take your signals from this present world. Or if you're going to take them from the written word of God. Because it's not the posh thing to do to be a good wife. Not at all. It's downsided. It's downgraded. And the woman who wants to be the wife, who wants to be the mother, she's not thought too highly of in this society. But so what? The word of God says she's great. And she decides that she will do her husband good. So what does this Proverbs 31 woman do? She was an excellent wife. Verse 13, she works with her hands. Women are so gifted. I know you're here and with your gifts. And if you have those kind of gifts, you should have time for them. She was an employer. She had employees. She had management skills. She was involved in real estate. She was involved in farming. She was strong. I think she must have done her Pilates. She was generous. She was compassionate. She was meticulous with her parenting. This woman recognized that children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb. It is his reward. She understood the gift that children can be. And if you're not careful, you'll be taking signals from this world that say, children, they're nothing but a burden. Children, they're nothing but a hassle. Children are this and children are that. But your children are the greatest gift that God will ever give to you. I want you to go home from here and look at them differently. Look at them as the gift that God has given you. Verse 22, I like this verse. It says, she dressed beautifully. She wore fine linen and purple. Now, hey, if you were raised in a Pentecostal pastor's home, that would be your favorite scripture too. I was raised in Pentecost when women got up every morning and looked in the mirror and said, what can I do to be uglier? And then they did it. Then I opened my Bible and I learned that this virtuous woman dressed well. She dressed nice. She looked good. Gotta like that. I was almost taught, you know, that if you had a desire to look good, that it was from the devil. And that's not right. No. I'll tell you what the devil wants you to look like. He wants you to look like a bag lady. He wants you looking bad. No, if you have a desire to look nice, God gave you that. Quit fighting it. I know you can go to an extreme, but don't you like your house nice? And we are God's house. We are his temple. God put that in you. Satan wants you to live in a pigsty. He wants you to live in filth. But there's great satisfaction when you kind of get it together and you get yourself and your house together. Sure, God put those desires there. She owned a boutique. She was one busy woman. Verse 24, and she laughs at old age. Good for her. She speaks wisdom. She speaks kindness. Oh, ladies, I mean, he didn't leave anything out. She watched over the affairs of her house. She was a strong, nosy, rosy mother. Children need strong mothers. You need to help them make decisions. And there will be times when you'll be about as popular as a pork chop in a synagogue. They may seem like they don't like you too much. Remember, moms, it's not what your kids think of you when they're 14, but when they're 41. But on the other hand, you've also got to be a real friend to them. You don't need to be their little friend. They got lots of little friends. But if you're not their friend, they'll never be able to confide in you so that you can help direct them and pray with them through their difficult times. She watched over the affairs of her household. She knew where her kids were. She knew who their friends were. She knew who their family was. She checked them out. She knew what time they were supposed to be where in, and they knew, and then to know where they were at. She cared. She was not idle. This woman never watched a soap opera in her life. Never. She was much too busy. And what did she get out of it? The Bible says, her children rose up and called her blessed. Now, what could ever be better than that? What word could you ever have? What kind of money could ever be given to you that would ever be greater than for your children to bless you? A poll among women revealed that raising children properly requires as much intelligence and drive as holding a top position in a government or business. And that's a six-figure income right now. And the task falls mainly on mothers' shoulders. Motherhood is one of the highest honors and one of the heaviest responsibilities. Where does a woman find help for such an awesome assignment? The psalmist said it well, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And sometimes this Proverbs 31 woman seems a bit out of our reach. But with the help of the Lord Jesus, we can begin afresh again to be all that he wants us to be. And in this world that is filled with anger, selfishness, hostility, they will start to notice something different when we exhibit love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will be a believable witness to your family and friends when you talk about the love of God, if they have seen these traits in your life. The quality of your life is the sermon that you are preaching to the people who don't know Jesus. May God bless you this morning and make you the women of God that he would have you to be. I just wonder if we could have the worship team come and play that last song. And I know that there is probably women this morning who don't feel it's a happy day for them this Mother's Day. There's sadness. There could even be sadness in other people here this morning. Maybe even a man or a boy or girl or, you know, a young person or whatever. We don't know your situations, but God knows. And there may be hurts in your life. There may be things that you feel really hurt, or and maybe you don't feel like you've been loved this morning. And I would just reach out to you this morning and say, God is here for you this morning. And we'd like to pray with you this morning. If there's anyone this morning, maybe you could bow your heads and just, is there anyone here this morning who just feels you need a hug this morning, or feels that you need some special care this morning from us? There's people up here who could help you and could just minister love into you today.